I have something which God has laid on my heart for the message today that I believe will be a blessing to you, and I believe you need to listen carefully and prayerfully and ask the Spirit of God to open your heart to receive His Word. I'm preaching on this subject. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And I've taken a text from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, in which Paul spoke these very words. He was speaking to the great city of Corinth, to the philosophers and educators and intellectuals and all these folks in that great city, Corinth. And he said, "Brethren, when I came to you, when I came down here to Corinth, this great city, to preach, I came not with excellency of speech. I wasn't trying to impress you with my wisdom, my worldly wisdom and knowledge and ability and oratory. I didn't come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of the gospel of God. For I determined in my own heart, for the glory of God and your good, and to fulfill my mission, I determined not to know anything among you, anything, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's my ministry and that's my message." And I believe that's the ministry and message of every true God-called preacher. Now, the apostle, this same apostle, now listen to me, this same apostle, in speaking to the elders in the 20th chapter of Acts, said this, "I've kept back nothing profitable unto you." Nothing. He said to them, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've kept back nothing profitable unto you, and I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And yet he sums up his entire message with these words, "I preach Christ. I preach Christ and Him crucified, and I'm determined to know nothing else, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, how can these statements be reconciled? How can this man say, "I've kept back nothing profitable unto you, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, and yet I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified"? How can these statements be reconciled? It's very simple. Very simple. And you who know God out there have already answered the question. The gospel of God is concerning His Son. The counsel of God is concerning His Son. And that which is profitable unto you is to know His Son. And not to know His Son, there's nothing profitable unto you. Everything, as Solomon said, is vanity of vanities. The person and work of Jesus Christ in redemption, that is the gospel of God and the counsel of God and the testimony of God. Listen to the Scriptures. Hang on now, listen. Listen. They said, "We have Moses." Christ said, "If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote of me." What did Moses write? First five books of the Bible. And Christ said, "The sum and substance of the first five books of the Bible is me. Moses wrote of me." They said, "Well, Abraham's our father." He said, "If you were children of Abraham, you would love me, because Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." What brought joy to the heart of Abraham? He saw the coming of Christ. When Isaiah saw Christ's glory, John 12, 41, he spake of Him. In Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he saw Christ. He saw Christ. No man's ever seen the Father. Christ said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Acts 10, 43 says, "To Him give all the prophets witness." To whom? To Christ. John 5, 39, our Lord rebuked the religious people of His day. He said, "You search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life." You're busy searching the Scriptures, arguing the Scriptures, debating the Scriptures. "And they are they which testify of me." and you will not come to me that you might have life. You've missed the scriptures. John 20 verse 31 says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's why these things are written. John said, that's why I wrote this whole book. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. Don't you see that? Luke 24, 26, our Lord said this, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have been crucified, humiliated, shamefully treated, die on a cross, rise from the grave, ascend to glory? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And so beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto the disciples in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's what the scriptures are all about. And he says in verse 47, all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning Jesus Christ. When our Lord was transfigured on that mountain and his clothes glistened, and the glory of God shone about him, and the voice from heaven said, this is my son. Listen to him. Hear him. Hear him. Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ, talking with him. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, and the Messiah in the middle. Now, here's a summit meeting. Do well to study what they talked about, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be interesting to find out what they talked about, what the Lord Jesus, the King of glory, the Redeemer, when he was transfigured and the glory of God shone about him, and Moses made his only visit back to this earth, and Elijah made his only visit back to this earth. What did they talk about? The Bible tells you. They spoke of his decease, his crucifixion in Jerusalem. Now, brother, when I stand in the pulpit of the 13th Street Baptist Church or on this television program, I want to talk about what Moses is interested in, and Elijah and the Son of God. And that's Christ and him crucified. Paul wrote, that rock was Christ. Talking about that Old Testament rock that Moses smote and the water came. That rock's Christ. That Passover that they slew in Egypt, put the blood on the door. What's that all about? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's a picture, a type, a promise, a pattern. That tabernacle in the wilderness that looked like any old tent from the outside, but on the inside, the very Shekinah glory of God dwelt. Give me a type. Give me a fulfillment. What's that the type of? Just one thing, that's Christ. Christ tabernacled among us. The tabernacle was where God met men and men met God, where the glory of God was revealed. Where's the glory of God revealed? Nowhere but in Christ. And you don't meet God anywhere but in Christ. That's what the tabernacle's all about. The brazen serpent lifted up. That's Christ Jesus. When Proverbs talks about the wisdom of God, that's Christ. The seed of woman, Christ. Abraham's seed. It's not the folks over there fighting the Lebanese and everybody else over there. That's not Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed, singular, is Christ. And everybody who's in Christ is the seed of Abraham. Do you know that? He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but one which is a Jew inwardly. They're not all Israel which are of Israel. Do you know that Bible says that? I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm a Gentile Scotch-Irish. But I'm a Jew. I'm a son of Abraham, child of Abraham. And everybody listening to me who loves and believes on Jesus Christ is Israel, true Israel. We're the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. America's not going to be judged for their treatment of renegade Jews over in Israel. America's going to be judged for their attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Abraham's seed. you get acquainted with the Word of God, you'll find that to be true. All that are of faith are children of Abraham. And anybody who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not a son of Abraham. He doesn't even know Abraham. Christ said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would love me. This entire book is a book of redemption. This entire book is a book of total, complete redemption in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, listen to him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's Christ. And this is where the religious world is missing the message of the Bible. The whole religious world and most of the preachers are missing the message of the Bible. They fail to see Christ. They're not preaching Christ. Oh, they mention His name once in a while, but they're preaching everything but Christ. They read the Bible as a book of laws and rules and regulations and call it the good book. They read the Bible as a book of doctrine and religious forms and traditions and argue and divide and debate over what this says and that says and the other says. They read the Bible as a history book or a book of prophecy and talking about Armageddon and the second coming and 3.5 years and the tribulation period and what part the church will play in it. All these things, they get bogged down and taken up with all these things. But the Bible is His story. It's Christ. The Bible is a H-I-M, hymn book. Listen to me. It begins in Genesis 3 with the promise of the seed of woman. And it goes for 66 books and closes with "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And that's what this book's all about Christ. And I'll tell you this, I say this to you with all the affection of my heart. And you can't be satisfied with all that is going on in the name of religion today. The entertainment, the foolishness, the gaudiness, the Hollywood-type presentation, the degradation of our God, the humanizing of our God, the painted people, feminism. You can't be satisfied with what you're seeing and hearing in the name of religion. You can't be satisfied with all of the promotion and telethons and money and organizations and false promises. If the Spirit of the living God would penetrate your mind and heart with this one great, grand, and glorious truth that Jesus Christ is the Bible, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, that Jesus Christ is the key of knowledge, that Jesus Christ is our wisdom and our righteousness and our redemption, that Jesus Christ has all preeminence. If the Spirit of God would just penetrate your heart so as to love that truth and your mind to receive it and understand it. John said this, that we know that God hath given us an understanding, that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and Jesus Christ whom He hath sent. This is eternal life, and this is the true God. We know that the Son of God has come. He came according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. He obeyed the law as a man according to the Scriptures. He fulfilled all that was required for His people according to the Scriptures. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, even Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And this is the true God, and this is eternal life. And that if the Spirit of God revealed Him, a person, it opened the Bible to you like a key unlocks a door. Just like a key. He is the key of knowledge. And our Lord rebuked those religious Pharisees because they kept back from the people the key of knowledge. Why is it that nobody seems to understand anything about salvation or eternal life except a bunch of preachers? You ask somebody about what he believes, he said, "Well, I'm not a preacher." Yeah, but what do you believe the Bible teaches? "Well, I'm not a theologian." You mean you got to go to college and seminary to know God? I'll tell you, our problem is our preachers are not preaching Christ. The simplicity of Christ. The simplicity of Christ. I have people write in here to me and they say, "I can understand what you're saying." Well, what's so unusual about that? You're supposed to understand what I'm saying. I can't make men believe it, but I can make them understand it. I'll tell you this. I preach Christ and Him crucified. And in doing that, I preach all the counsel of God. I do not shun to declare unto any man the whole counsel of God. All the counsel of God. I do not keep back anything profitable. Let me show you that. If we preach Christ and Him crucified, we go all the way back into eternity, into the counsels of eternity, when God purposed in a covenant of mercy to redeem a people. It was His counsel and His covenant that gave birth to the cross. Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when I preach Christ and Him crucified, I reach all the way back before the world was made. Back before the morning stars sang together. Back before the sons of God shouted for joy. Back in the eternal counsels of God. And I talk about His grand and glorious purposes and plans and covenant and counsels. For we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant. See what I'm saying? When Paul said, "I preach Christ and Him crucified," he didn't mean I just stand up all the time and say, "Christ died, Christ died, Christ died." There's a reason why Christ died. God purposed it and planned it from all eternity. Tell you something else. If we preach Christ crucified, we preach the love of God. I preach the love of God. I ask you, where is the love of God for sinners most evident? Where? Where can you take me and show me the love of God as it's seen nowhere else? Take me to Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if you're going to preach the love of God, you've got to take men to Calvary. And if you're going to see the love of God or experience the love of God, you've got to go to the cross. That's just so. If we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach the character of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, which demanded a cross, which required a cross. The only way God can be just and justify sinners is by His Son bearing their sins on the cross. You see, God is love, but God also is wrath against sin. God's angry with the wicked. The wrath of God abideth on the ungodly. You know what the Bible said? Well, where can His love and His wrath both be preached? And where can they be seen? And where can they meet together in some kind of reconciliation? Only at the cross. God is mercy. Sure, He's mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. But God is truth. Now you tell me where truth and mercy will meet together. Not down at the front of your church. Not in your pool of water. Not in that processional of fellas dressed in funny-looking outfits and funny-looking hats carrying crosses. That's not where the mercy and justice of God meet, at Calvary. God is gracious, but God is just. Do you know the character of God? Well, you'll meet the character of God at Calvary. At Calvary. And you don't need me to take you there. And I'll tell you this. You don't catch United Airlines and go there either, or TWA. That land over there is no more holy than this land I'm standing on right here. Christ doesn't dwell over there anymore, He dwells here. If you want to meet God, you meet God in the heart by faith. And people who make these journeys to so-called holy lands and shrines and hills and holes in the ground are idolaters. And they're worshiping shrines and not worshiping the living God. I'm telling you the truth. And you know I'm telling you the truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth. Not at man-made, money-making shrines. And if we preach Christ and him crucified, we preach justification by faith alone, apart from works. You know what God's word says? If righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Would you be guilty of suggesting that? That Christ died in vain? Can anything be added to his work? Well, if righteousness, if holiness comes by the law, by works, then he died in vain. I preach the death of Jesus Christ is sufficient and effectual to save all who believe. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, to come to Christ, you don't go anywhere. You don't move a hand or a hair or a foot. You don't come to Christ by coming to a preacher or to a place. You come to Christ by faith in heart. Your heart lays hold on him. If you can believe with your heart, Christ died for sin. You see, man believeth with the heart. If we preach Christ and him crucified, we preach the security and perseverance of all for whom he died. If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Are you suggesting that God sent Christ down here to bear my sins and die for me? Sent his Holy Spirit to call me and bring me to repentance toward him and faith in Jesus Christ, and then he's going to send me to hell anyway? Somebody asked me one time, said, well, you believe man's once saved, always saved? I said, depends on who saved him. If some preacher saved him, nope. One man talk you into something, another man talk you out of it. If he saved himself, nope. But I'll tell you this, if God saved him, he's saved forever. What God doeth, it's forever. If he's been regenerated and born again and a child of God, he's eternally saved. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, he said. I lay down my life for the sheep. I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. If we preach Christ and him crucified, we preach the priesthood of Christ. I have a high priest. Christ is my high priest. He's the only high priest. There is no other high priest. All the high priests of the Old Testament were pictures and types of Christ. And I'm a priest myself. I call no man Father on this earth, spiritually. No man master. One is your Father which is in heaven, one is your master, Christ. Christ is our high priest, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. He's our high priest, and we're priests of God. He has made us kings and priests unto God, and I need nobody to confess my sins to but Christ. He's my priest. And I'm a priest to offer spiritual sacrifices unto the living God. He's the high priest, and we have access to the presence of God. And let me tell you this, access to the presence of God is reserved for priests. And that's what we are in Christ, who is our high priest. Where did that happen? At the cross. You see, a high priest has to have somewhat to offer. He has to have an atonement. He has to have a blood sacrifice to put on the mercy seat. And Christ has that one atonement. Pardon me. If we preach Christ and him crucified, we preach a life of holiness and a walk of righteousness and faith in him. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. You don't take the law and whip people of God into line. It's the love of Christ that motivates them. You don't put a, like you know how a fellow makes a, a horse or a donkey run around a soccer mill, they put a carrot or something out in front of him. He keeps trying to reach that carrot. And that's what these preachers are hanging rewards in front of people, trying to get them to give, trying to get them to witness, trying to get them to win soul, trying to get them to come to church. We promise you a carrot. We promise you a yo-yo. We promise you a crown bigger than somebody else's or a mansion bigger than somebody else's. That's foolishness. Christ is our reward. There's nothing better than Christ. There's nothing better than being made like Christ. How do you get people to give? When they love Christ, they give. Well, how do you get people to come to church? If they love Christ, have an appetite for the Word, they'll come. The love of Christ constraineth us. Our motivation is love for Him. How do you husbands get your wives to cook dinner? Wash your clothes. Clean the house. How do you wives get your husbands go to work? Take care of the family. Provide them a home. Well, they love me. Oh, I see. And that won't work in the spiritual realm. It works. The other doesn't. It's reason you got 1,000 members on your roll and 100 in prayer meeting. If we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach the glorious resurrection of Christ and our resurrection in Him. If He did not die, He could not be raised. If His work was not accepted by the Heavenly Father, He's not risen. But if He died and rose again and is accepted of the Father, we died in Him, we arose with Him, and we're accepted in Him. If we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He came to reveal Christ, to glorify Christ. If Christ didn't die, the Spirit of God has no message to deliver. If we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach His second coming. He's coming back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. This is a straightforward message, but one you needed to hear. If you want it on tape, write to me. We preach Christ crucified. On the other side is a message, Precious Promises. We'll send them both to you for $2. Here's the address. Join us next week at the same time.